Broadcasting live from the beautiful Moscone Center in downtown San Francisco, Oracle Open World 2013. Now it's time for OAUG Radio. And here are your hosts, Lee Cantor and Stone Payton.
All right, Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton in Moscone West in beautiful downtown San Francisco. The weather's been perfect. The food has been perfect, and most importantly, the espresso has been perfect.
And we have an espresso order in right now. We sent a couple of our runners after new espressos. The hall is absolutely full. For some reason, this guest has drawn an inordinate amount of paparazzi.
That's right. A lot of people want this guy's picture. I don't know if that's a good thing or not. I guess we'll find out in a little bit.
A great deal of attention being paid to the OAUG booth here in the 3400 aisle. Without further ado, please join me in welcoming to this segment from Checkpoint Consulting, Mr. Ron Diamond. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, guys.
Oh, we're delighted to have you. Been looking forward to this all day. As soon as we found out you were on the docket, we saw you got the big spinning sign hanging from the ceiling. You got the book that's out now, Enterprise Performance Management Done Right. Tons of questions. The first one, yeah, I got to ask. Help us, if you will, define this term, Enterprise Performance Management.
Yeah, it's a great question because there's a lot of confusion around it. The term itself started off as something else. It used to be called Corporate Performance Management or Business Performance Management. Oracle started calling it Business Analytics now. So there is some confusion around the term. And we use enterprise performance management, which means something pretty specific.
Okay.
It's the tools, technology, and process that gets you from strategy to execution and all that stuff in between. So there's a bunch of silos in there. And EPM is this idea of bringing together all of these different silos. For example, around budgeting and planning and forecasting, around reporting and analytics, around what-if modeling, to bring it all together in one umbrella.
So now, so you're saying there is a way to make it that orderly, and you've created a system, or you've described a system to do that?
Yeah, it's a process that we've described. And most people do the pieces and bits and bobs in the process in silos today. So most people do business intelligence and analytics and reporting and planning. But not a lot of people put them all together, stitch them all together. Not a lot of people use the same, for example, data and metadata and rules in their planning system that they do in their management reporting system. So they spend a lot of time arguing about the difference in the numbers. So if you brought them together and you had them use the same data and the same rules and the same metadata, you could spend more time figuring out what you're going to do about the result that you got rather than what's the right number to use. Does that make sense?
But this is your craft. You have an entire consulting organization around this. You go out and you're helping clients real time think through these issues, and you're providing them counsel, coaching, guidance, and helping them navigate this terrain.
Yeah, exactly. They want to spend less time doing the manual effort of getting the numbers together, gathering them all up and transforming them and displaying them. Less time doing the non-value add work, and more time getting some new insight about their business. What line
right.
is profitable?
It's because that's what they really want, is the insight.
They want to take some action around that. So they want to learn, this particular product line is not profitable for us. We don't want to sell that product anymore. So let's prove that there's no value in that product. Let's exit that product, for
example. But now, don't you find that some organizations, they like to measure things? And just because you can measure something doesn't mean it's something of value.
Well, I once had a client. It's a great question. I once had a client. We were going through all of their KPIs, and we were sitting with the CFO, the CEO, and the CIO, and we were all talking about these particular measures that they got a lot of good insight into.
Right.
And the CEO, we couldn't equate them to the strategy of the business. And the CEO said, so why are we measuring them?
Because
we have the data.
That's why.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So that's probably one among several mistakes that you see in your work over and over. You must walk into client systems and go, oh, here we go again, number eight.
Yeah, so it's a great, exactly. Yeah, so you want to start with, what are the business objectives and the strategy of the business? What are they trying to achieve?
Right.
So is it about profitable revenue growth? Is it about, increasing the cash cycle? Is it about better asset utilization? Is it about the bottom line? What is it about that they're up to? And then aligning all of these EPM systems and processes and tools with those things that they're up to.
Right.
It sounds very simple. I am shocked how many times I'll go into to meet. I'll usually meet with the direct reports of the CEO.
Right.
First question I ask him is, what are your strategic objectives? And I get eight different answers from eight different people. It's surprising. So EPM allows everybody to agree what they are, look at them at the same time, measure measure them, plan for them, and do what if around the same things all the time. So it brings people together.
So now when you have that conversation, when you tell, you know, you get an engagement, you go, okay, I'm going to interview these eight people. And then you go back to the CEO and go, these are the eight, I got eight different answers. Does the guy just like fall out of his chair? Because he probably thinks everything's
aligned, right?
It's a surprise. it's a shock. And something happens very quickly after that insight.
You get the engagement.
Well, you know, sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. The last one we did, a very large, well-known high-tech company stopped our engagement, and they had to go have a strategic offsite, and they had to realign, and everybody had to agree and memorize and understand, and then we got to come back in.
So now that's another thing for your company to do with these strategic offsites, right? To give them time to think and to have retreats.
We want them to be aligned, for sure.
Right.
Sometimes we start from the bottom up, too, right? They'll have a problem with a particular kind of system, and then we'll make our way up and surface it at that executive level. But the best ones are when you start from the top down and get that executive sponsor and that alignment like that, yeah.
Now, do you have a sweet spot, a particular niche in this arena that you tend to serve more than another?
We have four. So one is budgeting, planning, and forecasting. So really getting good at things like workforce planning, financial planning, project planning, all the different budgeting, planning, and forecasting that happen. That's one. The other is statutory consolidation reporting. So helping companies create their 10Qs and their 10Ks, their bank reporting, their risk reporting, all of that. And the third is business intelligence and analytics. And then to bring it all together, one of the hottest topics at the show and in our client base is around this idea of master data management. Oracle, Hyperion calls it data relationship management. Mm-hmm. It's making sure data rolls up the same way no matter what you're talking about. And then the governance around that. So adding a discipline, so when people add an account to the GL, that there's some discipline to new information and consuming information and contributing to information. It's not just all these, you know, cowboys and silos.
Right. The silo, the protection from silos is, that's job security for you guys.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Well, we want to break them down. And we really want companies to succeed with EPM to have a real difference in their ability to compete. And the revenue growth and the bottom line, too, in their operating margin.
Now, how did you become part of this Wiley CIO series? How did you get asked
I used to work for Hyperion Software back in 1999 and eventually reported to the chief strategy officer, a guy named Howard Dresner. Howard's credited with coining the term business intelligence when he was an analyst at Gartner. I was fortunate enough to help him with his first book. So I helped him, you know, put it together and edit it and a few contributions. And that's how I got to know the people at Wiley. So they came to me a few years later and said, we want this book about
this
EPM
book.
As a process, because they knew that was my thing. And I was happy to oblige.
Is this your first book?
First book with my own name on it. I've done five that I've contributed to, but this is my own first book. Yeah, I'm very happy about that.
So do you have a favorite chapter or a particular topic that if you could recommend only one, you'd say, look, if you're only going to read one chapter, you know, go here.
Well, you know, I have two answers for that. One is on strategy. I really like talking about aligning strategy, so thinking about strategic objectives and that whole conversation we just had. For some reason, I'm loving the chapter I wrote on information delivery and business intelligence. I spent some time trying to codify data visualization. There's already some really great thinkers out there, Edward Tufte, Stephen Few, who know really, really data visualization really well. Well, I tried to compact that down into sort of 10 simple models to think about for BI. It wasn't supposed to be a BI book, but that just showed up. Yeah.
So how easy or how difficult did this thing come together? Because, I mean, the work is so much a part of you, right? Did that help it come together easy, or was it more challenging than you thought?
The actual writing of the book?
The writing of the book.
It was a lot more work than I thought.
You didn't knock it out on a weekend?
Well, it was about a year and a half of weekends. I still have my other job to do.
Right,
so,
of course.
It's a bit of a sacrifice. And then someone asked me, are you going to write another book? And after I did this one, I said, no way. So it's been a couple of months, and now I'm not saying no way. Yeah.
Now, but you were participating in other people's books, so that experience...
Yeah.
It was simple compared to this, right?
It was. And I still love doing it. I love writing and always have. And talking about this subject, I feel very passionate about it. I've been invited to places like Ohio State University to talk about it and some other universities.
So they're using this material in their curriculum?
Yeah. Well, not formally. So I'll get invited, for example, to an executive MBA class, and I'll show a point of view on EPM as a process.
Oh, that's great.
And it turns out it's like all the different ingredients of an MBA class. You have HR and finance and marketing.
Exactly.
It's all in there, yeah.
Now, has it helped in your business in terms of, like, is this a good brochure for you guys when you can hand this book out?
Well, our clients will use it to help internally sell the concept of EPM. So usually we work with CFO and CIO.
Right.
If CFO and CIO want to go out into the business, you know, into operations or supply chain or marketing, say, here's what we're up to. They can use this book as a way to help the executive understand what's going on.
What they're trying to achieve. Right.
Yeah, exactly. And align on a vision for this process.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's not a terribly technical read?
No, it's not. It's funny. It came out, Wiley put it in their CIO series, but it's really for any business manager or business executive in finance, marketing, HR, and IT.
Right. That's what it seems. That's why I was a little confused that it was part of the CIO series.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a surprise to me, but Wiley has a fantastic marketing department, and
they thought this is the way to start.
Yeah, and I didn't argue with them.
So I like this the way this has been positioned as a management operating system for higher performance. That helps you kind of get your arms around what this is really about.
Yeah, think about an operating system that governs how the whole computer works. So what if you had this process that governs how day-to-day you make decisions in the business? So there's a couple of ways you could do that. One is the finger in the air method. You know, you lick your finger, stick in the air. Oh, I'm going to do that. The other is, you know, political. Well, wouldn't it be great if you made fact-based decisions based on history and predictive analytics and data that you had?
Right.
And you had some level of confidence about those decisions, and you recorded them somewhere so that in 5 years someone says, well, why did we sell that piece of the business? It's all in the EPM system. And what I love about what Oracle's doing in Open World, and what I learn at, for example, at the OAUG conferences like Connection Point or Collaborate, is really how well the technology has come along to let you do that. So there's you know, a lot more in-memory work going on. The software is a lot greater. Data integration's better. DRM's better. It's all, you know, getting there to let companies do this.
So this must be an exciting time for your organization to be part of this event.
We have never been busier. We are growing like crazy. And, you know, our job now is to make sure that we keep the same level of quality we had when we were a lot smaller. And that's, you know, we're a consulting company, so we live off of our reputation and how good our last job was. And word of mouth travels very quickly in this domain.
So. Now, how do you hire right?
Well, typically in the past, we've had people that used to work for Hyperion. That was the easiest way because it's usually
that's
Hyperion.
That's where you came from.
That's where I came from. Yeah.
So that was a good system.
That's a secret formula.
Well, so most of us, you know, have that pedigree from the 90s all the way through. Lately, we've been experimenting with hiring in brand new MBA grads who understand finance and IT and teaching them the tools, but they have the language of business, and we'll use them like an apprentice model and bring them up. And we think that helps the industry, too.
How nervous were you when you started that program?
We started slowly. We wanted to make sure we were doing it right, and we had some fantastic success. We hired one young man who was an attorney. And he's now an EPM consultant. You would never expect that background. And he's brilliant. Really? He really gets it. And we're delighted. We want to keep that going as much as
we can. That'll be the next book, is how to kind of mold MBA people, right?
Well, I really would like to help the industry get better and higher quality. Because there are some organizations that will claim to know how to do this. And really, there are two or three pages ahead of in the manual than the client is.
Right.
Not good. Not good.
Well, and in your business, that's critical.
And there's so much at stake. You have to close the books. You have to get forecast accuracy. I mean, people's livelihoods are at stake. So there is
as good as your last consultant.
That's right.
That's right. Reputations go really quickly. Yeah, for sure. I started my career at Deloitte. So I worked at Deloitte for 9 years, and I loved the experience there. It was fantastic. And that helped prime me to become a pretty good consultant. And taught me about business value. And I think that in EPM, that's if you can bring business value into the conversation, it's a good idea.
So you have your team in the booth, and you're visiting with a lot of folks, but you're probably walking the carpet, maybe going to some educational sessions. How are you investing your time while you're here?
Yeah, so we do all of that. There's a little bit of fun. Like, we get to see some old colleagues that we've worked with at Oracle, and then see our clients who come through the booth and wish us well. And then we get to meet new clients in the booth. And then, we get to help learn some of the latest and greatest, or help contribute to some of the latest and greatest. It's just, there's just not enough time and so much to do. Yeah.
So speaking of time, energy, and focus, what is the best way for a client to get started with EPM? Is it just socializing the conversation?
Just read the book.
Well, yeah. Thank you for the plug. Yes, read the book. You can get it on Amazon.com.
Come on. You're done. You're halfway there.
That's really the answer.
Book.
You know, there, people are already doing this in little bits all over the place. They, there's 20 BI tools. They already maybe they're doing budgeting, planning in Excel. I mean, some of the processes they're already doing, they should bring it all together. That's the
thing. That's the secret sauce.
It is. So one is to call it something like enterprise performance management. The other is a competency center, to build a center of excellence around this idea for process and for data governance and for the budgeting and planning and the tools that they use and standardize on them. So that helps reach out into, you know, I did a couple of engagements where we work with CIO to go out into the organization to find out what people are currently doing, and they're usually surprised just how many sort of homegrown systems, or they call it shadow IT, or servers under the desk that people are running for some of these systems. So to corral that
because
together,
of the bureaucracy or because of just political issues within the organization?
Yeah, and time. Time and political will.
They got their own way.
Their
modified way of doing it that kind of goes around the system.
Well, one of the complaints has been, you know, it takes IT so long to get us these numbers, we'll just do it ourselves.
So,
not to take anything away from IT, there are champions. They have to show that, no, we're going to get you these numbers faster, but we're also going to get them more accurate than you can get them.
Right.
And the same number that you're using is the same number that this guy down the hall is using.
Right,
so when you get in a meeting.
Right, because those little shadow organizations, how crazy is that when you get them all in one room together and they're comparing notes and everybody's got a different...
It's a waste of time and money and effort.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What a fantastic conversation. Where can our listeners learn more about you and your work, have a conversation, and where can they get their hands on this book?
Well, the best place is start with our website, checkpointllc.com. Mm-hmm. We've just revamped it. It's more EPM-centric. There's a lot of resources on there, webcasts and white papers.
That align with the book.
Some of it aligns with the book. We wrote a great little one on SG&A, Selling General and Administrative Expenses. Very specific, top of mind topic for most businesses, how to control costs. So EPM on top of that, something they can get their heads around. We have a blog there. You can follow me on Twitter at Ron Diamond, R-O-N-D-I-M-O-N. And yes, you can get the book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or any of your booksellers.
All right. Author, consultant, and now friend and radio rock star, Ron Diamond. Thanks so much for hanging out with us, man.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
All right. We will be back in a few from the show floor at Oracle Open World 2013.